So Ram, start us off with that amazing story of yours.
It was the most weirdest, no, not weirdest, not scariest.
But somewhat uncomfortable kind of.
No, I knew this was happening, but when it happened to me, I know it is happening.
Right.
It makes me lose credibility on what I am actually doing, you know.
Right.
Our bread and butter is relayed on that tool, and when that tool
is going haywire.
It's not haywire, or we not know what is happening within that tool, you know.
You cannot tell it to someone saying this is what happened, right?
This is what happened. It is that bad of an instant. So, you know, I think it was like a glitch in the Matrix, like how in the movie Matrix they say, you know, it repeats itself again. There is a glitch. So I just saw a glitch on Instagram. I think it is a glitch, you know.
Yeah, it can be. It can be intentional.
Call it a glitch or an intentional act. But no, I did not add followers to that page. Like, you know,
I didn't follow anybody
from that page. And then one fine day when I opened the app, it started showing me random posts of other people. So like, you know, I thought, okay, like maybe the phone was in my pocket or someone would have accidentally
followed someone.
Done it. When someone else was using my phone, they could have, you know, done it. So I unfollowed all these people because this
How many numbers was it?
It was around 40 plus.
Whoa.
And so I unfollowed all of them while coming to the office because, you know, this account is, you know, our office's account. It's not a personal account. So this is our official account. So I unfollowed
business
all this
page.
Business page. So I unfollowed it and brought back to the one following number to our other official page. And then, like, you know, all of a sudden I opened the app again. No, I not opened. I had a notification.
And we were in the same room.
Yeah, so, you know, you saw the notification. I'm going back into the app. 11 followers, new followers. And it's like, I'm telling it to you. And then I'm turning, like, you know, it's like my phone could hear. And I told you,
it's like showing only one.
It's showing one. So it's like my phone could hear it and pass on that information to, you know, or not know, some AI or something. And this is immediately able to react to it and bring it back to the normal thing. So that.
But when you showed it to me, it was like, you said like, see again. And that's like the first split second I saw it, it was like 11 followers. And I'm just closing my eye and I'm opening my eye. It's like one follower again. So it was like that snippy and, you know,
fast.
And we didn't know what happened. We can't even type this out.
It can be an Instagram glitch.
Yeah.
It can be. Better it is an Instagram glitch because, you know, the integrity of the platform. I still believe in the integrity of that platform. So.
Right. So we were also talking about, you know, YouTube having AIS bots in the previous example.
Correct.
And maybe all of the social media is, you know, a numbers game and we can't even physically count, like, if there are actually 1 billion people on the platform, right? It's just the app companies claiming that you have this many downloads, this many people using.
Does the company actually know it is the next question?
Right.
Does the company
know that this is happening?
Does the company know that it is actually an artificial intelligence that is sitting within its, no, it's like, you know, a virus, basically a virus hacking into the network.
Right.
An artificial intelligence is, you know, it's a digital virus that can think of its own, that can transform and do anything.
Right.
It's a scary digital world, you know. Digital is not safe. It's a scary digital
scary
world.
Place to be. And then that's one of the topics that we are going to cover in this episode as we start with the real life example, because like today we wanted to talk about the media and, you know, the power of censorship that brands have right now, and also how, you know, misinformation and, you know, information that catches on like fire. We don't know the credibility of certain messages. So recently YouTube has come out with this censorship program where they don't want you to curse in any of the videos.
Mm.
And if you have to curse in your video, you have to face the demonetization.
Okay.
Like your videos won't be monetized. And
But the content can be on the platform.
It can be on the platform. But it will not be put into a recommendation algorithm. It will not be promoted to a lot of people.
Okay.
So it will affect the entire virality of that specific
video. The purpose of the
you know, content being spread. And
this is like, it can happen organically, but
no,
people
like organic
driven, people driven, like rather than AI driven.
Yeah, like AI driven is happening in lakhs, right? Yeah, maybe if people share it with like 1 lakh people at a time, then yeah. But YouTube can decide like this ranking signal that is like having limitation of content, but people pushing it, it can say, if it is like regulated by the algorithm, do not even push the video, even if a lot of people share it.
No, like, you know, you can still do it in other platforms.
Yeah, we can do it in other platforms, yes. So, and if you curse in your videos...
The thing is like, so we need not be worried to curse. We
have never, I think we have hardly ever, you know, cursed in our videos.
No, sometimes still. I've cursed some people, like Sundar Pichai, I've cursed him, I've cursed Elon Musk.
Right, but it's not just the curse word, but the frequency of the words being used in that platform, because they understand what, you know, text we are speaking throughout the entire video, because since the video is probably in English. So what they are doing right now is, even if you say a curse word now and YouTube does not comply by it, your previous videos which had earned money before the, you know, that this act got passed, will also be affected, because like you would have earned like 10,000 rupees in that video. Like they'll retake that amount from you in your future videos also.
So basically now YouTube is sabotaging its creators, creators community.
Right.
Basically, you know, now YouTube is not, does not want to glorify them anymore. I think YouTube is saying that you are a slave to me.
Right.
Directly. That is what I think Google is, Google or Alphabet, what is the name?
Alphabet
is directly telling to all the people who built that platform. It's like, you know, YouTube did not build it by itself. YouTube was built by the community of
And the platform's tagline itself was broadcast yourself. That was the core goal of YouTube, is basically it's your tube. So right now it's becoming more like TVs and, you know, brands trying to control the free.
And this is happening because of
advertisements. Advertisers not being able to.
So this is because of the big corporates.
Yeah. Trying to, you know, instigate a woke culture into the community that puts them into a platform. Like, we don't want our ads to be associated with this creator.
So they want to show themselves clean.
Clean, yeah, basically.
But they are the most dirtiest people alive.
That's the irony. That's the irony that we are living in.
Basically, you know, the one thing that, you know, religion did the same. You know, religion gave us a set of guidelines and separated, saying this is good, this is bad. And, you know, once you are able to, separate things good and bad based on your ideology, you're creating a whole new pattern of thoughts into the people who are going to consume that or be a part of that, and it's going to affect their minds a lot, you know.
Right.
You are going to come with a clean, you know, when, you know, until a ripe age, you know, until you're 10 or something, your brain is going to be very clean. And oh my god, and, you know, this is
like pure infiltration, you know,
this,
infiltration,
mind control. This is exactly. So these big companies want to control the minds of these people. Oh my god.
And this happened with our, you know, the Sterlite problem also, where they specifically cut off all the internet connectivity. And China also restricts a lot of content to be shown to their audience. And it always, you know, tries to control. If the content is about government, it will not, you know, promote it. It will not propagate it. So they have like key trigger words that are put into a certain pattern will not be promoted by the algorithm at all. So a lot of creators have debunked, shown this with proof, but the platform will not show it, and the platform is not going to, you know, favor them. So what percentage of information that we consume on a daily basis, like, for example, let's say we have some credible sources like the newspapers or, you know,
newspaper is not credible. So, I don't think anything is credible.
Yeah. So how do we understand misinformation? For example, like I see a Facebook post, right? And it says like Ram Kesavan stole 100 rupees from me, right? And you don't know that post was made by you. But let's say 100 of your friends see that post, and right now they have a bias saying, yeah, maybe Ram Kesavan stole 100 rupees, right? But it could have been the other person who stole 100 rupees from you. But even before you got that information out, this information went ahead, having the credibility because it was like earlier.
Okay.
Right? So Facebook has been trying to find a lot of ways to handle misinformation, but since it comes in different forms and there is like not many sources that can confirm the same, it has not found enough, you know, traction to create how do we identify misinformation. So what do you think is the history of misinformation before media and after the progression of social media. Do you have any specific examples that you can give?
So one thing that, you know, I was really happy, and you know, I always talk about, you know, say we can communicate to the whole world now, you know, we have the power of the internet, we have the power of social media. But you know, these decisions taken by these social media companies is the worst decision I think that they can ever make.
And this
does not solve the purpose of communication anymore. Now this becomes more like
more confusion than communication.
Yes, now this is not at all communication, because you know, it was created by people. You know, it can be good, bad, right, it can be biased, but still it was not most of the information was created by an organization or by a company. It was created by an individual, and based on their perception the ideas were shared. So you can take anything out of it, like you said, you know, Ram stole 100 rupees, Ram gave 100 rupees. It can be anything, and you can take whatever information you want. You had the choice. But now if these big guys are infiltrating and, you know, bullying, literally these guys are bullying social media companies, because social media companies' biggest revenue is from their ads.
Right, business.
Business. I think social media companies should look other options, like they should start supporting small and medium businesses.
Right.
They should start to make their focusing their revenue stream by developing regional businesses.
Right.
I think that way they can keep up. I am sure, you know, if I was a creator of a social media platform, I would not, you know, happily want this to happen.
Right,
you know,
right.
That was not the objective of me creating that. It is my baby, and I do not want my baby to be corrupted.
Polluted.
I don't think any of these founders, I think they're all being puppeted to money, and that is forcing even the content creators to be puppeted for money. I think we should start looking at the whole big picture and stop complaining Alphabet and Facebook for this to happen, and rather, you know, directly say this is the reason why this is happening. We should start, actually small and medium businesses should start spending more money on social media. It is our time to support social media from these big,
because of our, you know, possibility to reach a lot of people with so little money.
And I think these guys have also invested a lot of money in their platform, all these big guys,
to create the product,
to create all these segmenting, targeting options, these retargeting options. They have made a very powerful tool.
Sales engine, basically.
Basically a direct sales engine, you know. You can automate most of your marketing process. You know, a door-to-door salesman need not go door-to-door now.
Right.
A door-to-door salesman can do a phone-to-phone job sitting in his house and get the same result at a much effective price.
And can measure it.
You know, like, you know, measurably, it is more effective than what he is doing. Like, you know, personally for him, he is more satisfied. The customer is more satisfied. The company is more satisfied. And small and medium companies should now back social media. You know, these big guys are ditching social media. So small and medium companies, they should come into social media. They should support the community. The more they advertise, the more money that they put into social media is the only way we can get back into the free speech system.
Right.
Or else we are going to have a controlled, monitored system that is going to affect the entirety of what we have always been talking. You know, we are talking about free speech, whatever, you know, and this is going to repeat to us again and again and again and again in loop. All this 1% of small people trying to, I think it is the same person again. We might think that the puppeteer is different,
changed. But it's like the same people.
Name, the brand is changing, but the individual, the small group of individual, I am sure is not changing. I am sure, because it is the same thing happening again and again. If it is a different strategy, if it is a different
form altogether,
then you can say, okay, there has been something happening, but it is the same thing again and again happening. You know, it has happened when religion came, it has happened when newspaper came, when radio came, and
now it has all already become like who gets the most clicks. So that is what these companies and these, you know, newspaper journals or whatever it is.
Who gets the
most clicks? clicks. Right? Mm. So, for example, let's say a new announcement about a new movie, right? Mm. Does not, you know, create attraction or something like that. But they focus something very negative about the movie, saying there is no women cast in that movie, or there is no disabled people cast in that movie, or something like that. That will trigger a lot of people saying, why didn't they do that? But it was not something that is needed in the original thing at all. Mm. It's a story of its own. But they'll focus on something that was not intentionally in the movie, mm. and then try to propagate it in such a way that it was a hate movie, right? And it generates more clicks for the website because people want to know why it happened. And then ending up sometimes people canceling the entire movie for being racist or being ableist or something like that. Mm. So this affects...
It is able to influence
and control behavior of the audience, basically. So this happened with Johnny Depp's trial also, where mm-hmm. When Johnny Depp was framed with, you know, Amber Heard's case, mm. Since he was accused of abuse and everything, mm. his entire Disney contract for Pirates of the Caribbean went. And right now, when he was like proven innocent or whatever, the contract did not come back because the brand does not want to associate with his entire, I think the movie's...
So that is again Disney, right?
Yeah, Disney, yes.
These guys are really scary, you know.
Right.
These guys are now really, really scary.
In the previous episode, we spoke about how they control the entire
most country. Dirtiest people want to show that they are very clean.
Very clean, right. I think this should be the thumbnail of this video.
They are very, very ugly inside. They have a very ugly agenda of controlling and manipulating, power seeking, but then they keep themselves...
Because they want
to make themselves right. look pretty and beautiful outside. Oh my God.
Right.
Mm.
And it is like, you know, constantly, you know, putting some things that trigger people to make sure that it gets them talking about something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, if you have a clickbait thumbnail and the click-through rate is like 20%. And if you have a normal thumbnail, it will have a click-through rate of 1%. And the brands want that. So even if somebody does nothing, it has to find something to, you know, put himself, because like Elon Musk has become, you know, one of the biggest clickbaits for a lot of brands. So even if they don't have any news about him.
No, Elon Musk is the crypto mafia.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever the crypto.
Yeah, you can associate his name with anything. Like if you want to talk about car industry, mm. Elon says Ford is going to die. You know,
mm. Elon Musk does not say that. The brand
yeah,
value.
The brand value and the, you know, click-through rate he has. And Ford, he would have said like maybe fossil fuels, or like he would have made any blatant statement. But they'll say Elon Musk says Ford will die. You know, and people will, there are Ford fans who want to see what mm. Ford is doing. So with this negative, positive affirmation of people focusing on their clicks towards negative sentiments makes the brands, you know, adapt to them. So there was this one quote by a person like, the market is not determined by the companies. What you enjoy will determine the market. Mm. So let's say we focus too much on negativity of any brand, you know, we enjoy the negativity or controversy of anything that's happening, and the media wants to fuel it because it is the only thing that goes. And there was a survey that was made, like every headline that had a negative connotation to it had 3 times better click-through rates.
Mm.
So media outlets actually want to, you know, capitalize on that. So they'll have positive news. But mm-hmm. the negative news will always, you know, outperform them or outshine them.
Mm.
And that is how I think false misinformation plays a crucial role, because brands don't have to have a news. They can just write about anything because there is no credibility and there is no back checking and everything. So, because this used to happen in WhatsApp, like people send, they still send like Jana Gana Mana Gana is the best national anthem in the world. And I went to my native place this last month. And one person was like, don't you know that India's Jana? I think Padmanabhan said that.
Mm.
Padmanabhan is with us all the time. And he said like, Jana Gana Mana Gana is the best national anthem. But I have never seen a source for that. I've never seen anything of that. And he still believes that Jana Gana Mana Gana is
this idea of, you know, when you said having a source is what I have been talking about, you know. We are looking for affirmation of the fact through all these big guys who are the right. ugliest guys. You know, that is how our brain has been wired.
Right.
Why can't, you know, it is my personal decision. I can say it is the best song.
Right.
I don't need an affirmation from another big organization to say, or anything credit, you know, someone else to give credibility.
Right.
I think that is where these guys are playing the manipulation game on us, you know. They will.
And we've like, also seen a lot of, you know, this fashion parades and people winning the Miss India.
It is like still dictatorship is existing, Hitler is existing, like, you know,
in
different forms, you know. What Hitler did was, did the same, but he did it, you know, with his body language and with his charisma. And
but right now it is happening very, you know, subtly and a poisonous
way. In a very poisonous way, slowly killing you. But I think it's happening very fast, you know. You have your phone. Your phone is with you all the time. And
I've heard people talk about saying, I don't get influenced by ads. I don't get influenced by content. And they have convinced these people saying, like, you are not influenced by ads. So it's kind of come to a point where we think every single decision is made by us. Hmm. But we have to accept the fact that, no, it's not. Like, every single thing that we do is an influence or a copy of something else. So these medias have too much power right now. And these companies, these
I don't think media has the power. I think these big guys.
Big guys,
yeah. Medias are just the puppets
of these guys.
Puppets. So they make sure they control the dominant mass media that exists, you know.
They still do, right? Like, even in television, even
they focus. Because when I was in Africa, I remember the ads there. I think it was an ad for Nestle's child drink.
Okay.
Farax, Cerelac.
Ah, Cerelac. Okay.
Okay. It is the same ad that is ad in India. Everything is the same. The text is same. The music is same. Except the mother is black and the daughter is black.
Right.
So they know it is just that small thing to influence. They know how culturally diverse we are.
Oh, they try to push Cerelac in Africa.
Africa.
Right.
This is 14, 15 in Kenya.
And they do it over and over again. I think they try something in one market, and if it works, they'll try the exact same thing in another market.
You know, but these guys are genocides. These guys are worse than Hitler. Nestle is worse than Hitler. Nestle's product would have killed more people than Hitler. Nestle's products would have killed more beings than World War One. I am sure if we are going to take count directly or indirectly, these guys.
And McDonald's also.
All these guys, guys whom we are talking about.
I spoke with my sister recently, and she shared like she wore a lehenga for her wedding. I said, like, where did you get the idea of wearing a lehenga here? I thought, like, everybody was wearing it. So I said, like, it's not even a Tamil thing. We have a Tamil marriage. And she was like, no, I don't know. My friends did it and so I did. So then I went to her Instagram page and I see, like, every single video is from North India and everybody is wearing lehenga because it's something that they wear on their weddings. And right now it has infiltrated in the source so much that she spent around 20 to 25,000 for that lehenga. And she's not going to wear it anywhere else because, like, we don't go to a wedding wearing a lehenga. So then I thought, like, okay, every single person's social media is different and they are getting influenced by different things, very segmentedly, targeted very well and pushed in such a way that it's a good product for you, right? So it's scary how, you know.
So capitalism is not the right, you know, it is not taking the right, you know. I always used to believe, you know, capitalism is the solution for most of the problems that the society is facing. It is a good thing, but, you know,
it's making people unhappy.
Anything too big, you know, capitalism should have certain rules that, you know, too big is not good for anything. I think
too much of anything is
but now it is very hard, you know. You will, you know, they are the people now are the regulating bodies. And now we are talking
about... They will set rules, they will break
it. We are talking about regulating them. But, you know, as of now, they are...
And we are posting them.
We are using them to... I don't know if, you know, we saw how Instagram reacted to just our voice. I'm not sure how Instagram...
How our page will look up in the future. Yeah, so I think these media outlets and, you know, social media platforms have a lot of, you know, ethical responsibilities that they should have. And like you spoke about in the previous episode of how, you know, ethical responsibility is not one of the primary concerns of them, and, you know, how profitability over sustainability is.
I think these guys, you know, they think that only under great control there can, you know, the achievement that they want for the human as a species,
they want a control environment, basically.
Can, you know, happen. You know, control is good, you know, control is good till an extent, you know, until you are able to. But I think controlling your thoughts, you know, we have always been doing that, but that has been the biggest problem that we have always been continuously facing, generation after generation. The more you try to control thoughts through book, through history, that is what is keeping, you know, all this differentiation amongst human beings more and more. It is giving us the split, you know, like you said, North India, Lehenga, South India. It is because of this control that we have
had over years, like a long time.
Through different forms of mass media. And I think mass media should not be controlled. You know, they are using this as a tool.
Right.
You know, say, you know, censorship tool, you know, for example, swear words, nudity. I think they are using this as a trump card to make this decision and get us into control.
Right.
I think, or else, you know, if it is not there, social media is going to be a place of leisure.
Right. It's going to be, it's again going to be a TV. Like,
it is going to be a fun place. It used to be a fun place. I remember when it started, you know, I used to like to go there and play games with my friends.
Right.
I used to go play a digital game on Facebook with my friends. But, you know, now it is becoming, I do not know, I think to feed its bigness, it has become so greedy.
And there was this recent acquisition by Microsoft for a game called Minecraft. And in this gaming community, it is a very popular thing that people curse, you know, their partner players, and, you know, they rage, and, you know, they have fun, you know, swearing. And when Microsoft acquired it, immediately after 1 month, they said, like, any swear word being heard or typed on the chat will be banned. Their account will be banned immediately. They can't have an account, right? And the community was, like, incredibly sad. But at one month and 2 months after that, they had to comply, because they want to enjoy the game, they had to, you know, live by it. So I think there is a point where sometimes we can't do anything.
No, it's like, you know, well, Microsoft, I think Microsoft thinks that it is my father, you know. It says, like, you know, you don't. That's what my father taught me, that, you know, you don't use swear words, you know. It's not, I don't know, Microsoft thinks it's the father of the world. Maybe, you know, 100, 200 years from now, instead of writing stories of Zeus, maybe writing stories of Bill Gates. I was a goodness god called Soft Micro. He lived in the Mount of Atlantis in the United
and
States.
And I think AI will, ChatGPT will write the same thing. They can write anything they want.
I think the funny legacy that these guys should. Yeah, you can. An extent of control is okay. This is too much of this. This is going to break them. The more and more, you know, you emphasis on controlling, the more and more these free people think that they are put into prison. There is going to be a huge critical mass, you know. Now maybe it's 5%, you know, it's just the Minecraft people, some of us, the social media content creators. Next, it's going to affect the content consumers also, because now they're going to get shitty content. They're not going to get content with emotions.
Right.
They like the content because it was emotion.
They'll get to know it slowly, like
very soon, you know, people will hate it, you know. That is, if there is going to be no emotions, why are you going to sit there
and what is the purpose of creating content if there is no diversity,
then,
right?
Then AI can make it.
Right.
Then AI can make it. Why can't I not use these words? Why can't I not, you know, encourage certain
and there was one sentence in that YouTube guideline saying, we are not considering damn and hell to be, you know, curse words anymore. Mm-hmm.
Anymore.
So that means, like, they were considering that to be her curse words.
Thank you, digital father. I will obey by all your rules from today. Damn hell.
Reach skyline. Embrace digital.